police brutality has extended to another level, that they are kind of humiliating the female rights.
Hong Kong protesters levy another complaint against police. This is Thursday, August 29th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, the United States has plans to battle China in the production of rare earth materials. Times become tough for many businesses in strife-torn Kashmir. And the U.S. president faces some difficult questions about the economy. All on today's VOA Asia. Several thousand people protested in Hong Kong Wednesday night against what they claim is sexual violence by the police. The rally followed claims by some protesters last week that they were inappropriately treated by officers. Ruby Ayong was one of those taking part in last night's protest.
The theme for tonight is respecting the, because the police brutality has extended to another level, that they are kind of humiliating the female rights for the protesters as well.
One protester alleged she had been strip-searched unnecessarily. In another incident, a female protester said her skirt became flipped up as police carried her away. Police have denied any wrongdoing in both cases. Police spokesperson Shi Xiaoyu said during the body search, our police officers did not use any objects to point at or pat any part of her body. We did not ask her to open her legs and ask her to squat and stand repeatedly. This is because our police officers did not think it was necessary. Meanwhile, trade union members in Hong Kong rallied Wednesday against the city's flagship Cathay Pacific airline for firing employees, apparently because of links to this summer's ongoing pro-democracy protest. A banner behind a stage in a central public square read, "Revoke termination," and "Stop terrorizing CX staff," referring to the airline by its code. The Hong Kong Federation of Trade Unions said the 20 employees have been dismissed or forced to resign, including pilots, cabin crew, and managers. CEO Rupert Hogg resigned earlier this month to take responsibility following recent events, according to the airline. Cathay has confirmed the dismissal of several employees over the past 2 weeks. It has said, given various reasons, such as a pilot who misused company information or another is in legal proceedings, without mentioning the protest. One Cathay pilot was charged with rioting during a protest. The trade union confederation called the rally after Cathay Dragon, a Cathay Group airline, fired the head of its cabin crew union. Chinese aviation authorities have pressured Cathay by banning staff from mainland flights if they support what is called illegal protest. China's central government has been sharply critical of the protest in the semi-autonomous territory. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOANews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on VOANews.com. At least 3 people were killed. More than 100 others were rescued from a fire that engulfed a ferry in the southern Philippines. South Korea's Presidential National Security Office accuses Japan's Prime Minister of treating his country like an enemy state after Japan's downgrading of South Korea's trade status took effect Wednesday. The lawyer for former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak said he was misled as he begins his second trial over a multi-billion dollar fraud case at state fund 1MDB. And the United States and all 10 member states of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, will for the first time conduct joint maritime drills near the disputed South China Sea. You're listening to VOA Asia. The U.S. military wants to partner with Australia to disrupt China's dominance over the global supply of rare earths. They are the minerals essential to high-tech products, from cell phones to sophisticated weapons. Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment Ellen Lord told reporters Monday the Pentagon's highest potential avenue is to build a rare earths processing facility with the Aussies in order to take care of the Pentagon's needs and the needs of other international allies. Joining us from the Pentagon is VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. Carla, what's this all about?
So, Ira, the challenge, as the Undersecretary explained to us, is the processing of these rare earths. China has had a virtual monopoly on the processing. They don't actually have the monopoly on the rare earths themselves. They only account for 30-some percent of the global supply of rare earths, but they do about 80% of the processing. So what the United States wants to do, and what a lot of the U.S. allies wants to do, is set up their own processing abilities so they don't have to go through China, because China has already hinted that they could use the rare earths as sort of a bargaining chip with some sort of with some of the trade war talks going on right now. There was just earlier this year the Chinese state economic planner issued a sort of veiled threat to withhold these strategic minerals, saying, and I'm quoting this person, saying, if anyone were to use these products that we export to curb the development of China, the Chinese people wouldn't be happy. And so they are already prepared to kind of step up the fight in the trade war using something that they have such a high supply of.
Why does the United States have to go to Australia to gain these rare earths?
Well, I think this is just one of those collaborations of interest. I know that the United States in the past has tried to have processing plants. There was one in California. It closed down. It's just a very expensive process. Rare earths, it's kind of funny. The name rare earth, you think it's rare, right? They're actually not all that rare. What they are is spread out all over the globe, so they're not exactly in these concentrations like a lot of minerals that get mined. So it's very costly to gather them and to process them. And so if they can get an ally like Australia, who has a good supply, they can work together with the Aussies to try to kind of take China out of the process.
What makes the U.S. military so interested in making sure they bring in rare earths?
Rare earths are just critical for so many things that we need. Look down at your hand as you're listening to us right now. Chances are you have a cell phone in your hand. That cell phone needs rare earths in order to operate. When you look at the U.S. military, jet engines, satellites, defense systems, night vision goggles, all sorts of things that the military needs have to be powered and have to be made with these rare earths. So it's very important to have a supply, and that is what the Undersecretary said. She said that the United States is concerned about the fragility in the supply chain, especially when an adversary controls the supply.
Has this area of cooperation between the United States and Australia been set, or is it just in the planning stage?
Well, she said that this was in the planning in stages at this point. She said that she visited over the summer without getting specific, and that that was something that they were interested in. There are other potential avenues out there that the United States is also looking into, but this one, she said, was the highest potential avenue. It would work with Australia. The Aussies have been working with the United States on a lot of different fronts. The United States has made the Asia-Pacific region its priority focus for the military, and so having this rare earth capacity not only helps the military-to-military relationship, but also the economic-to-economic relationship as well.
Carla Babb is the VOA Pentagon correspondent. As always, Carla, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Happening now in Asia news, China is threatening to retaliate if the United States sells some of its top military aircraft to Taiwan, narrowing the power gap between its People's Liberation Army and the forces of its rival, Taiwan. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. As summer temperature peaks, tourists head to Kashmir. However, tourism has been badly affected since India revoked the independent status of the autonomous region of Jammu and Kashmir earlier this month. Jetta Arainis reports from Muzaffarabad.
Sadiq Rathore owns several guest houses and restaurants in Pakistan-administered Kashmir. Usually, he's incredibly busy during summer. These days, he's laying off workers because no one is coming to the restaurant.
LOC pe We have not been in a position to pay employees since July 5th. The season was going well. All of a sudden, these tensions. I had 75 employees, and now I can only afford 15. These employees are at our mercy, but what can I do? We only paid them a month's salary, but that's it.
According to the local tourism department, about 1.5 million tourists visited last year. But thanks to tensions in the region, not this year.
The season was running smoothly. There was such a nice flow of tourists, especially those going to Lake Nilam. Then the tensions started. Now people are scared to visit. I would say it's a sharp decline, worth billions of rupees.
The decline is really hurting small hotels, and some owners are considering tourism packages to revitalize tourism. Big hotel chains, a bit removed from the area, have also been affected. But say the problem is much worse the closer you get to line of control.
The tourists who would visit the valley have seen a big impact. We don't see much difference here, but of course, there are not as many people.
Most guest houses and restaurant owners have resigned themselves to the reality that tourism will remain low until peace is restored in the area. Kiti Aranis, Voice of America, Muzaffarabad.
Coming up as we continue, economic worries could be clouding the re-election hope of the U.S. president. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news alert from VOA Asia. India is set to impose a nationwide ban on plastic bags, cups, and straws on October 2nd, according to officials. Its most sweeping measure yet to stamp out single-use plastics from cities and villages that rank among the world's most polluted. Visit VOA Asia Facebook every day for top stories and great features to see and share. VOA Asia continues. President Donald Trump's path to re-election next year seems to be getting more complicated. Trump continues to boast about a strong economy despite warnings from a number of economists that the U.S. may be headed for a recession in 2020. And the president must now fend off a primary challenge from within his own party from conservative radio talk show host and former Congressman Joe Walsh. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on the president's re-election prospects from Washington.
At the G7 summit in France, President Donald Trump charted a solitary path on trade, Russia, and combating climate change. Trump also defended what some see as his chaotic approach to dealing with China on trade.
The way I negotiate, it's done very well for me over the years, and it's doing even better for the country.
It should have been done by other people. It should have been done by Bush. It should have been done by Clinton. Double Bush. It should have been done. I'm doing it.
Trump often touts the strong U.S. economy on the campaign trail, as he did recently in the state of New Hampshire.
Even though we had fake witch hunts on our back and all the other things that we had to go through, we have taken this big, beautiful ship, and it's being turned around very quickly.
But the trade war with China is taking a toll. And some economists now warn of a recession next year that could possibly cripple Trump's re-election chances. Trump's Democratic rivals are targeting his handling of the economy, including current frontrunner Joe Biden.
It goes less to the underpinning of the economy than do a trade policy, a foreign policy, and a domestic policy that has people wondering in the markets how stable this administration is.
Trump also has a new challenger from within his own party, conservative talk show host and former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh.
I'm running because he's unfit. Somebody needs to step up, and there needs to be an alternative. The country is sick of this guy's tantrum. He's a child.
Walsh may turn out to be nothing more than an irritant, given Trump's overwhelming support from Republicans. But an economic downturn next year could spell political trouble for the president, says Susan Page.
In modern times, we have never expelled a president, never defeated for re-election a president who is presiding over a time of robust recovery, the kind of recovery the United States is in at this moment. But we also have never re-elected a president who is running for re-election at a time we're in a recession. So that is something the White House is quite aware of.
Trump generally gets high marks on the economy from voters, but a recent Associated Press poll found growing concerns about the president's character, says Steve Peeples.
There were some bright spots on the economy, you know, some policies, but that overall concerns about this president's character, the way he communicates, the way he tends to be divisive on some issues, really outweighs any benefit or that they're seeing from the economy.
And we are making America great again. Thank you, New Hampshire. Thank you.
For the moment, Trump appears to believe that firing up his political base remains his best hope of winning re-election next year. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia. Torrential rain triggered floods and landslides in Japan Wednesday, killing at least two people and prompting authorities to order more than 900,000 people to leave their homes, while another million were advised to move to safety. Television footage showed roads and railroad stations inundated and people waiting knee-deep in flooded streets. This is VOA Asia. Authorities in China have warned Australia not to interfere in the case of a Chinese-Australian writer who has been formally arrested in China on suspicion of spying. Yang Hengjun, who was born in China but is an Australian citizen, has been held in Beijing since January. Australia has become increasingly critical of China's treatment of him in recent months. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Yang Hengjun has been under investigation for allegedly harming China's national security, but Australian officials have been told he's now suspected of espionage. The former Chinese diplomat has been detained in Beijing without access to family or lawyers since January. In a strongly worded statement, the Australian government says the writer is being held in harsh conditions and it has serious concerns for his welfare. Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said that if the Sydney-based academic was being held for his political beliefs, he should be released. Alex Joski from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute says other Western powers should intervene on his behalf.
Countries like the UK, Canada, the US and the EU all have a stake in this. They all have a duty to try to protect the rights of people who are being oppressed by totalitarian states and trying to make sure that the rule of law is being upheld.
It's thought Yang migrated to Australia in the early 2000s. The writer has been a vocal critic of Chinese authorities and was arrested earlier this year on a rare trip back home. Yang's wife, Yang Ruijian, has been granted permanent residency by Australia, but China has prevented her leaving the country. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman insisted the writer was being processed in accordance with the law. He said Beijing was strongly dissatisfied with Australia's comments on his detention and called on it not to interfere in the case. Media reports have suggested that if convicted, Yang could face a long prison term or perhaps the death penalty. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Phil Mercer has been working overtime. He also has word this day of a new koala tracking app and a marsupial hospital, the latest moves to protect one of Australia's most famous native animals. The furry tree-dwelling marsupials are in decline in eastern Australia, and authorities are hoping a multi-million dollar rescue plan will help save them.
The app will help authorities map and track koala populations in New South Wales state, where the furry marsupials are in decline. Members of the public, as well as researchers, are encouraged to report koala sightings using the technology. The koala faces various threats, including loss of habitat, disease, road traffic accidents, and attacks by dogs. They're also susceptible to the impact of drought and climate change. In New South Wales and Queensland, the famous and distinctive animals are listed as vulnerable under national environment laws. In some areas, it's estimated that numbers have fallen by a quarter in the last 20 years. New South Wales Environment Minister Matt Keane hopes the app will provide an accurate picture of where the koalas are.
We're calling on the community to download the iSpy Koala app on their phones. That's about getting the community to go out in the wild, in our national parks, identify where koalas are, record it in their app, so that we're better placed to protect them into the future. This is all about ensuring that the koalas can continue to thrive so that future generations can enjoy them. This is all part of the New South Wales Government's koala strategy, a $44 million investment in koalas, the biggest single investment of any government ever, to ensure that koalas are protected and grow into the future.
A new koala hospital is being built in Port Stephens, 180 kilometres north of Sydney, and will be part of a wildlife sanctuary that will open next year. There'll also be more research into chlamydia, a sexually transmitted disease that's infected many koalas. Fences to channel marsupials and other animals away from busy roads and into specially made wildlife tunnels will also be built. In parts of southern Australia, officials say there are too many koalas and that overabundant populations are damaging valuable types of trees. In some areas, there are programs that seek to reduce marsupial numbers. But further north, conservationists warn that the decline of the koala is an environmental emergency. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. Self-driving cars may be years from becoming reality on the road, but some of the technology going into autonomous vehicles is being used to make driving safer today. Michelle Quinn visited one company that's using computer vision and artificial intelligence to help solve one of the biggest problems for motorists, distracted driving.
Just 2.5 seconds of distraction can become dangerous on the road. One Silicon Valley company says it has the solution, a way to be an extra eye for a driver by using cameras, sensors, image recognition software, and real-time alerts.
Distracted. So we'll alert the driver that he or she is distracted. Then the driver is able to look up, maybe notice that traffic has stopped in front of them, slam on the brakes, and avoid that very common rear-end crash.
Nauto's device sits behind a vehicle's rear-view mirror and comes with cameras and other sensors.
So you can see here there's the interior camera that faces the driver and then an exterior camera that faces the road ahead. And we're running algorithms to detect high-risk behaviors.
That behavior could be falling asleep behind the wheel, tailgating, or checking a cell phone.
It'll issue a series of progressive alerts based on how distracted they are. So that's the first one. And there's a second one.
Nauto's device is in more than 200 fleets of trucks, taxis, and ride-sharing services. But what about driver privacy? Nauto says the device only reports to headquarters if something happens, like a crash.
It's not a surveillance device, right? A fleet manager can't log into our system and just stare at a driver, right, and watch them for 8 hours of their driving day. So if the driver is driving well and there's no events, then there's nothing that gets uploaded and reported in the system.
Nauto is collecting a lot of data about human driving patterns, which it sells to autonomous vehicle companies. So the drivers of today are teaching the self-driving cars of the future.
Distracted.
Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Palo Alto, California.
Our thanks to you. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Find us at voanews.com, and we'd love to hear from you at VOA Asia Facebook and from our email at voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us again, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Zineb Abdul-Rahman, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and the VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Skylar Ogden, and Keith Lane. I'm Ira Melman. Enjoy your day.